And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts, even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast. For all is vanity. Ecclesiastes 3:19. Boy, does that ever fit the narcissist in the White House who just gave a Mussolini-like speech from the balcony of his own mind in Havana. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Today is one of the most significant political days of our lives. Once again, we saw this imposter in the White House, this crypto-communist, giving nothing, getting nothing and giving everything to the dictators of Cuba. Again, he mentions trade, free trade with Cuba. How many American jobs will be exported to that prison island? Why do liberals who are silent on the death camps in Cuba, the overt racism in Cuba. You notice that there are no black people in Cuba in leadership positions because the Castro brothers are stone-hearted racists. Did you know that? I know that is a very hard fact for most of you to accept, those of you progressive leftists from the Upper West Side and Park Slope of Brooklyn, especially. But there are no blacks in the leadership in Cuba because the Castro brothers are stone racists. Did you know that? And why is there more hatred aimed at Trump than at the Castro brothers? Why is there more hatred aimed at Trump than the criminal maniac who runs North Korea? So today's topics are numerous, friends. It's a big day. Cheers and jeers for Obama's PR visit to communist Cuba. Boy, did they walk away with the store. And again, once again, we the American people get nothing out of the deal. Of course, it doesn't stop the business people from lining up. Because as you well know, in the 1930s, Henry Ford built trucks for the Soviet Union. And as you well know, it's well established that some big American industrialists built military equipment for Nazi Germany at the outset before World War II. Did you know that? The same thing is happening now. Also in the news, left-wing reform Jews are boycotting Trump today and joining communists and Muslims and spewing hatred at Donald Trump at the AIPAC meeting, which is astounding to me. The cowardly Judenrat Jews who are silent on ISIS have had nothing to say about the rapes and murders of non-Jews in the Middle East by the Muslims in ISIS are full of hatred for Donald Trump. So-called rabbis, you know what a rabbi means? Nothing today. A liberal rabbi means nothing. They're all progressive communists. Rabbis and Jewish leaders planned boycott of Donald Trump at AIPAC. They finally found their guts. The very same cowards, the Judenrats of our time, who have been silent on the rapes and murders and kidnappings by ISIS, the Muslim murders in America, silent. Suddenly the Reform Jews speak out against Trump. Insanity. You've heard of the Stockholm Syndrome, haven't you? That's topic number 15 on the Savage Nation. Cuba. AIPAC, but I'm just beginning because there's a lot more to talk about. Today is my anniversary. 22 years of radio today. 321, 1994. They said I wouldn't last a day. They said he was too New York. He wouldn't sell outside of New York. Well, they were wrong about that. They said he's too conservative in the liberal media. Well, they were wrong about that. Today is my 22nd year in radio. Can you believe I survived all these years? And I want to thank all of you, by the way, for making this possible. That's an absolute reality. I put it up on my Facebook page, and I got some of the kindest, nicest comments I've ever seen in my life. It was like family. But I'd like to ask you something, since this is my anniversary today. Where were you politically in 1994? How old were you when you first started listening to The Savage Nation? You know, 22 years is a long time. Time is just slipping, thanks, Steve Miller. 22 years, many of you were children. I hear from people who said, well, my dad used to listen to your show, he's gone now, and you're like my father. Or my mother used to listen to your show, I was 10 years old, and that was 20 years ago, I'm 30 now. It's amazing to me when you've been in the radio business this long, and you have such a personal connection with an audience. There's nothing more that I can say other than it's amazing. An amazing thing, because the show was not supposed to last. There's so many other things that are surging through me that I want to talk about. How have your political views changed since 1994? Have you evolved? We're also talking about left-wing reform Jews, protesting Trump, hating Trump, joining Muslims, Obama going to the prison camp of Cuba, the media covering for Obama's communist love fest. I think these are wonderful topics. I also want to talk about, I'm going to have some special events today on the show, including flashbacks to the old shows, a special anniversary piece, and I'm going to talk about how Michael Savage became a conservative, because remember, I was not always a conservative. Remember, I was very young once and very naive, and I had been brainwashed in New York City. I didn't know anyone but liberals when I was a kid. I grew up in a liberal milieu. I wouldn't even associate with anyone who was not a liberal. I didn't know who they were. I had no idea where they lived. I kind of categorized them in a racist manner as being, well, I can't even use the phrase, but it's an S-kicker. Anyone who wasn't a liberal from New York was an S-kicker, a mean, stupid person. And if you think that that attitude has changed, go take a stroll through the New York of today. Go see if you can find many conservatives walking on the Upper West Side. Go see if you can find a liberal in a conservative in Park Slope or Brooklyn Heights. I understand that Trump is speaking right now after the closed meeting with the GOP, but since we're just going to get sound bites, I don't think we're going to play it. I don't think it's as historic as Obama in Cuba, and I'd rather talk about that. If Trump says anything new, I'd be glad to run it. Now, we're going to talk about the Trump phenomenon and the hatred for Trump, especially from cowardly liberals who have spoken out about nothing in my lifetime are suddenly spewing hatred for him. And I have nothing but contempt for those kinds of people. I think that's a good opening. I'd like to have a little Cuban music as the callers come in at 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. This will be an amazing show because it's an anniversary show. Silent and ISIS, suddenly they find their voice attacking Trump. As Trump takes stage at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, Jewish Americans should watch closely, says the brave Professor Arnold M. Eisen, chancellor of the so-called Jewish Theological Seminary. So says Rabbi Julie Schoenfeld, so-called executive director of the so-called Rabbinical Assembly. Rabbi Stephen Wernick, so-called chief executive officer of the so-called United Synagogue of Conservative Judaism. They hate him. These cowardly, quisling, Jewish quislings hate Trump, have been silent on the rapes and murders and slavery by ISIS. Suddenly they hate Trump. There's a madness. It would be easy for me to say, well, liberalism is a mental disorder. You know, one size does fit all. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go into details on this. Because I've lived with these people. I ran from these people. I understand them. I know their DNA. They've never evolved. They're still living in the past. And I want to get to that today of how I evolved. What happened to me? That I came from this milieu, and yet I evolved a long time ago. I thought about it yesterday in great detail. How did I become a conservative? What happened in my life that I finally saw the reality of the stupidity of socialism? Or of this left-wing fanaticism, because it still exists. I flew about 50 miles off the shore of Cuba on the way to the British Virgin Islands to be on a boat for a while. And I have not a personal relationship with Cuba in the sense that I know Cuban people, but I know the emotions that are raging in the Cuban Americans whose families fled these two dictators. And think about the quislings in the media like Andrea Mitchell. Think of the little boys and the little girls who flew with Obama, the PR agent for communism. He flew there with these people who, and he only went there, by the way, for what reason? What did he really go there for? Now, you know, I want to be kind to this discussion because many of you think that this is equivalent to Nixon opening up the doors to China, and there is a story to be told in that. And I've thought about it. I said, well, wait a minute now. Nixon opened the doors to China. They were communists. They didn't close their torture chambers. Now, look at many years later how well China's doing. Yeah, look how well China's doing. Look how well China's doing because of Nixon. But what you don't know is that although I was a young liberal at the time, I wrote in my journal that Nixon was no different than the communists that I've been warned about. I was not a brainwashed, diehard liberal. I was just liberal in my politics at the time, because I was a kid, but I was able to observe reality. And I noticed that everything I was warned would happen under a communist was happening under Richard Nixon. Took us off the gold standard, opened the doors to communist China. I didn't like Nixon at all. I thought he was pure evil. So don't think that I started out as a Republican or I started out to go to Cuba. No, I didn't, my friends. No, I didn't. And that's the beginning of the Savage Nation, amigos. Cheers and jeers for Obama's propaganda visit to Cuba. I thought I was watching something from the 1930s, but it's happening right in front of my eyes. And today we'll talk about the demagogues running for office today, notably Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders, and the danger they pose to our survival. Because make no mistake about it, this next election is the turning point. We've heard this before, but more today than ever before, it is true that if we go Trump, we just might save America and have a traditional America back again. If we get a Hillary, all is lost. It's over. The most despotic criminal regime in American history will have free reign to destroy what's left of our freedoms. I'll be back in a minute. Thanks for being with me on this 22nd anniversary of the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Cuban people are prisoners on a prison island run by two mafioso. The Castro brothers are two of the biggest mafioso in the world. What in the world do you need to know about the ladies in white? You didn't see the pictures that Andrea Mitchell wouldn't show you on NBC. You didn't see the picture that the Quislings in the media didn't show you of ladies being beaten with clubs in Cuba on the arrival of the propagandist in chief from the United States of America with his wife and two daughters. Shame on them! Who are the ladies in white who were beaten in Cuba? Damas de Blanco, who are they? It's an opposition movement. You didn't hear anything about them today. Founded in 03 by who? By wives and other lady relatives of jailed dissidents. Who that criminal, Raul Castro, said what political prisoners? He did a classic Soviet tactic when he was asked by Mr. Jim Costas of NBC, to his eternal credit, by the way. Costas, I didn't know, was the son of a Cuban immigrant. He asked the real question of the mafioso, Raul Castro. He said something about the political prisoners, and Raul Castro did a classic Soviet answer. He said, can you name them? He said, if you name them, I will release them the minute you give me their names. So right out of Khrushchev's playbook, or Stalin's playbook, because there are no political prisoners in Cuba. They're all plain common criminals. You see, if you protest the mafioso that runs Cuba, you get beaten or killed or thrown into a dungeon. So there are no political prisoners, according to Raul Castro. And of course, Big Ears the Dunce stood there smiling without interrupting one word. It looked to me, by the way, you want me to go pure intuition? You want me to go pure intuitive? I was watching Obama. I'm an Obama watcher like we all are. I saw an almost different man. I saw a puppet who had to do what he did today, almost like a Manchurian candidate. The color of his face was different. He was looking down out of shame. He looked embarrassed by what he was saying. It was as though he was himself a political prisoner of some sort who was forced to read a script. It's what I saw. Now, don't call me crazy. He mentioned once ladies in white. Did he say to Raul Castro, free those people? Did he do a Reagan and say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall? Did he say, Mr. Castro, open up your prisons? He didn't say any of that. He talked around the subject. And yet you progressives on the Upper West Side of Manhattan in particular, you also self-righteous progressives who walk around in your own circles of deceit. You've lived in New York your whole life. You never leave your little ghettos. And you only meet your friends from the 1960s who have never evolved. They're still walking around like animals who fell into amber pits, stuck in the progressive movement of the 1930s, and you think that you're the cutting edge called progressives. You're not the cutting edge called progressives. You're a very sad group of people stuck in the past who refuse to acknowledge the true hatred, the true terror, the true prisoners of conscience. Instead, you reserve all your hate for Michael Savage, other conservatives, and Donald Trump. Isn't that odd? It's kind of nice, but it's not like it was. And the reason it's not as free is obvious why it's not as free, because there's a prison camp. Look up Ladies in White and find out why the two Castro criminals have them beaten and arrested. And then you'll find out why it is the most shameful day in the history of America to see this con man in the White House paint a rosy picture, the same way rosy pictures were painted of the Soviet Union in the 1930s by reporters for the New York Times, who I can name, by politicians and businessmen anxious to do business with the Soviet Union, like Henry Ford, who built trucks for the Soviet Union, used in the war effort, eventually against us, by the way, after the war, built, if I'm not mistaken, the Ford Motor Company built materiel for Hitler's war machine in the mid-1930s. Didn't stop them from doing business. Doesn't stop the airlines wanting to fly into Cuba, the hotel individuals to build hotels in Cuba. But it's not going to free a dissident from the prisons. Now, having said that, I want you to understand that I can easily be misinterpreted, both on this 22nd anniversary show and on any day of the week. It's very easy to categorize people you hate by fobbing them off and saying they're this with a stereotypical statement about them. That's what you're doing to me. That's what you've done to Donald Trump. I understand the poor. I worked with the poor. I was a social worker for the poor. I taught in all black schools in New York City. I know about the lowest rung of American society. I know about the sordid helplessness. I know about the housing they live in. I know about these housing projects surrounded by leafless trees and backless benches. I know about the debris-strewn lots across America. I know about the concrete recreation areas. I know the world of violence, terror, despair. I know the world that so many Americans live in, where crime is not occasional, but a constant. I know that it is a world from which hope has not fled, but in which it never existed. I know about that. I was a former social worker. I worked in those worlds. I know about the human comedy. I live in the comedy. I work in the comedy. And I watched this charade going on with Obama going to Cuba today, and I know it's one of the most significant political events of my life, perhaps yours. Once again, they gave nothing and got everything. Once again, he glorified trade with another nation, along the lines of what we heard from Bill Clinton and then George Bush about NAFTA and trade with Mexico and how great it would be for America. Well, we also heard that about China, but China rebuilt itself based upon what they did in their trade deals with the United States of America. And so the same thing will happen again, this time with Cuba. Wherever this shyster imposter goes, he gives away the store and gets nothing for the American people or the American worker. And yet we hear nothing from the liberal establishment about Obama's trip to this prison island. The same liberals who are still silent about ISIS's atrocities have nothing but hatred for Trump. More hatred aimed at Trump than at Castro, the criminal Castro brothers, North Korea criminals, ISIS criminals. Never a word. Just cheers for Obama's historic visit. Mission accomplished. Now, I want to tell you something about the Trump phenomenon in the midst of all of this. I was analyzing why they hate him so much. And one of the reasons the liberal elite establishment, whatever you want to call them, hate him, is because he's done something that they didn't think could be done. After dividing and conquering us into demographics and turning us against each other, which Obama's a genius at, make no mistake about it, he is one of the shrewdest political operatives in the history of this country. And he has spent his entire 7 years dividing and conquering one demographic after another. I don't have to name them. Black against white against black, gay against straight, rich against poor. You name it. Haves and have-nots. He did this divided them up. He gerrymandered the nation. But what he didn't count on happening was that the white guy, the working class white guy in Ohio, Cincinnati, New York, the carpenter, the plumber, the white tradesman, who was always a guaranteed non-voter or a Democrat voter, because they stopped voting. The reason the white guy, the working class blue-collar white guy, for want of a better phrase, stopped voting is because they had no one to vote for. They knew Romney didn't represent them. They knew the Republican Party didn't represent them. They know that Harrod and Hillary Clinton doesn't represent them. They know Bernie's full of crap. They met men like him their whole life. They know he'd stab them in the back at the first opportunity. So they're not excited by any of those people. They're excited by Donald Trump. And they can't understand that, meaning the Obamaites and the media operatives can't understand and can't accept that the demographic that they had written off as a non-voting demographic, the white guy who stopped voting, the union guy who stopped voting, is going to vote for Trump. And that's why they're foisting such hatred on him, because they can't understand the phenomenon. You see, there's a high degree of contempt and racism. It's the last avenue permitted of bigotry amongst the whites in this country. The white liberals can't exhibit bigotry towards any group except the group that they detest the most, which is the uneducated poor white man. Did you know that? And so they're heaping abuse upon that demographic and, of course, upon their new champion, Donald Trump. That's my analysis, period. End of story. Now, we can go back to regular programming on this 22nd. That is regular programming. I'm just, there's so many things swirling on this day. You know, I look back to 1994. I remember the first night. I remember going to the station, filling in for a host on a station here, KGO, which is still in business. Big, powerful, 50,000 watter. And he was a flaming, phony liberal on an overnight show, a faker. And he spewed hatred against, let us say, a certain race. Because he was from another race, and he was on the left. And that was his stock and trade. He made a good living at it, stirring up the late-night listeners. I had never listened to him. I didn't even know who he was, but he went on vacation, so they called me up. And, yeah, filled in. So I talked about affirmative action. I don't know what other topics I talked about. I have the tape somewhere. We may even play a piece of it. Well, I'm going to tell you the story again. That first night of radio in 1994, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m., I got in my car in the garage on Front Street, and I remember driving home, and the entire way home, I was looking in my rearview mirror. I had almost a paranoid episode. I thought somebody was following me. The hatred was so overwhelming. The so-called good progressives who listened to that hate spewer on KGO were so hateful to me. And I was, prior to this, I was the good doctor. I was the herbalist, the nutritionist. I had love wherever I went. I had never experienced such political hatred in my life until I expressed my conservative viewpoints in the most intolerant city in the world, San Francisco. And so I got home. I waited for the family to awaken. How was it, Dad? How was it? Did you like the radio show? I said, I will never do radio again as long as I live. Never. No amount of money on earth, I said, is worth the hatred that I had to experience. Well, of course, the rest is history. They called me again and said, you were great! Savage, you were great! We want you back on. I said, I'm never filling in for that guy again. Never. Well, will you do another show? I said, I might. It has to be a day show. So then I did a few day shows on KGO. I can remember to this day there was a guy who, quote, jumped off a Golden Gate Bridge. Nice guy. His name was Dwayne. Yeah, he was an interesting man. He was a very nice man, and they found him at the foot of the Golden Gate Bridge soon after I started filling in for him. He had said something about Al Gore, if I believe. He had disclosed something about Al Gore and was soon found at the bottom of the Golden Gate Bridge. It was very odd to me. I never thought he jumped, incidentally. Never. But that wasn't followed any more than the Supreme Court Justice's death was followed. You see, only when liberals, let us say, pass in unusual circumstances, do you hear such follow-ups and questions and inquiries? There was no inquest. It was assumed he just jumped. Well, anyway, that's a bit of a sidetrack, just the rocks along the roadway. And then the station switched over, and they told me they were creating KSFO in 1994. which is still there, and I'm still on it, and I love it very much. And they said, would you like a full-time show? I said, look, I have a full-time job right now. I'm making a full-time living doing other things. They said, well, look, we'd still like you to do it. Well, I'll tell you one day how I decided to go into radio, because it wasn't the guarantee I would. I went to a very wise man. You'll never believe this story in a million years, but I don't think I've told this one. He was one of the most powerful attorneys in Washington, D.C., who I met through a mutual friend. He was an older man. He had advised Kennedy. He was John F. Kennedy's in-house attorney, White House attorney. I'm not going to mention his name. A wonderful man. He owned a chain of radio stations. Well, I used to ask him some questions. I told him I was just starting out in radio, and he owned stations and this. So I said, you know, I don't know what to do. Should I take the radio job, or should I stick with my consulting business? I said, because I don't know if this radio thing's going to work out. So he said, keep them both. Do everything. Think of it as 3, 4, 5 horses on a board, and keep them all moving forward at the same time, at different paces. And eventually some of them will drop out of the race, and you'll find out which one is going to win. Well, I followed that, and I stayed in radio, and the rest is history. And that's how things work out in life. I met some very intelligent, very far-seeing people. And you know what I decided? I learned in my life at this point, not to get too philosophical, I know you want to hear political, I learned that who you associate with is almost more important than anything you've done in your life. Meaning, who you listen to, whose advice you take to heart, is perhaps the most important thing you can decide to do with your life. And that's why years later I had to drop all of my so-called friends in San Francisco. They were fun. Oh, they were fun, those poets. Oh, they were fun, those, quote, writers. Oh, they were fun, those left-wing wastrels, were they not? But I had to drop them to survive, because they all wanted to keep me down. They all wanted me to be just their little personal clown. And I had to drop them all. And I had to walk alone. And walk alone I have for these 20 years, and here I am. Now, what the future holds for me, I don't know. Do you know what the future holds for you? Do you know what the future holds for America? No one really knows. We don't really know. We can make our plans, but, you know, of the plans of mice and men, as they say, we don't know what the future will hold for us. Personally, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Man's driving along, he gets T-boned, and he's gone. Man's talking, and he falls over, and he's dead. Well, great things happen at the same time. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, do we? I know this. Statistically, it's more sand at the bottom of the thing than at the top of the thing. I know that. I know that there's more sand at the bottom of that thing than at the top of the thing. And how much sand is left? I decided, I swear to you, just yesterday. Because I've always worried about existence and survival and how long I'm going to live. And, you know, coming from a short-lived paternal lineage with heart attacks. And I never thought I'd be here. But the thing is this. I've worried about it so much that I'm tired of worrying about it. I'm just sick of worrying about, you know, how long I'm going to live and this and that. I decided yesterday it's in God's hands. I almost became fatalistic. I decided just yesterday, you know what, it's time to put that childish thought that I can control my destiny 100% away. Just put it away. Go to the faith-based view of existence. It's a lot easier. And it doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. What matters is that you'll feel a lot better. Well, anyway, I'm rambling on this last exit to Savage. I'll be back in a minute on this 22nd anniversary. Be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCO. I guess it's a big deal for some of you who've listened to me for so many years, who grew up listening to this show. As little kids, some of you were 5. You listened to the show in your father's car. I get emails, Facebook, my father's gone, I remember him when I listen to you, or, you know, whatever. I mean, the people, it's amazing. It's a long time, 22 years. How many shows last this long? Think about it. Think about Broadway shows, they open and close. Think about TV shows, how long they have, what kind of, even The Sopranos, as great as it was, what was it, 6 years, 7 years? And then they ran out of steam. I personally think my shows have been better in the last month or two than they've ever been. Tell me if I'm wrong. I think that I've gotten better. I think that I'm more like Babe Ruth today than Joe DiMaggio. In the beginning, I was like Joe DiMaggio. I had to hit him out of the park, and race around the bases. Now I just knock them out of the park sometimes and walk, and sometimes I miss. That's all. But I don't want to run around the bases just to make noise and kick up some dust. In liberal America, courage has been twisted into senseless violence. Love has withered into unfeeling lust. War has become peace under Obama. Under Obama going to the slave island of Cuba, slavery is freedom. And so I am part of the mass culture. I know that. I, Michael Savage, am part of this very mass culture that we talk about. And I hope that my gestures of defiance help you define me and yourself. You heard me, didn't you? I know that the language is a little unique. I understand it's not what you're normally going to hear. But listen to my language, what I just said. I hope that my gestures of defiance on this show, on an almost daily basis, help you define me and help you define yourself in liberal America. We're under Harvey Weinstein and the movie makers, who used to be so great for this country, used to create images that made young boys want to fight for America. The Harvey Weinsteins, the Martin Scorsese's, as smart as they are, as great as they are in their craft, they've twisted courage into senseless violence. They have twisted love and withered it into unfeeling lust. And that's why I get up every day to do my show. Today is one of the most significant political days of your life. Where were you politically in 94? Where were you politically in 2016? When a president shamelessly acted as a propagandist for a prison island run by two mafioso, the Castro brothers, with castrated newsmen in his wake.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
My 22nd year in radio, 21 March 1994, overnight show, and here it is, the show they said wouldn't last another day. People threw every impediment known to mankind in my way. If I ever tell the story, you will not believe what I had to overcome to be on this radio show today. I mean, every step of the way, there were impediments from the, well, let's leave that go. It's just what it was. In other words, in life, nothing is easy. In other words, everything that, every time you see someone with any achievement, they fought every day of their life to have it and to hold on to it. Make no mistake about it. Nothing comes easy. And it's very easy to hate someone who succeeds and say that they don't deserve it. You're better than them, whether it's someone who published a film script or got a novel published or someone who got an award that you didn't get. Yeah, human jealousy, part of the human condition. What can you do about it? I suffer from it myself. And when it comes to politics, right now, Trump is the pinata of American politics because the cowardly liberals who have said nothing about the most abusive regimes on the planet, including that of the Castro brothers, or of North Korea, they never say a word about ISIS. Suddenly they found their guts, and they found someone to hate. And it's not solely Trump that they hate, it's what he represents that they hate. He represents the silent majority. The silenced majority is how I called them when I started in radio. The working class white male who stopped voting. The working class white male who could not be counted upon to vote for Democrats anymore. The working class white male is suddenly awakened and they love Trump. They know who he is. They don't think he's a great man. Just they think that he's a man who might look out for their interests, and they're willing to take that chance. That's how I see it, because I'm from the same milieu. I'm not a working-class white male, but I haven't really changed in my sensibilities about the world. I still am the same person in that regard. I may have evolved politically, but in terms of emotionally or socially, I think I'm the same exact person I was when I was just starting out. So we're talking about the human comedy, especially today when you have the propagandist in chief legitimizing a dictatorial regime, almost an embarrassing level, frankly. And many of you are going to compare him to Nixon opening up the doors to China. And of course there's a comparison to be made. But the major human rights abuses by the communist regime should not be overlooked. Oh, you can't overlook that. Now, why does Obama want to end the Cuban embargo? And who will benefit from that? Who would benefit from free trade with Cuba? You know the American people won't. More free trade? You mean like what we gave Mexico and what we gave Vietnam and what we gave Japan and what we gave China? Ask yourself why you're being hoodwinked once again by the con man in the White House. Free trade? That hasn't worked out for us. So what will Cuba gain and what would we gain? Think about it. And what would Nixon, of course, open the doors to China? We know that. And is there a comparison? Well, yeah and no. Because Nixon negotiated a mutually beneficial relationship with China. And he wanted to work with China to counterbalance the growing power of the Soviet Union. And he also wanted to manage the war in Vietnam. And what did your guy Obama get by acting as a propagandist for the Castro communist regime? Nothing. He got no concessions whatsoever. No agreements whatsoever. No agreement to release the political prisoners. In fact, Raul Castro, the mafioso who runs the island, said that there are no political prisoners, exactly out of the Soviet playbook. In fact, since Obama made overtures to Cuba, they've gotten much worse. Ask the people who are living it. The political and religious oppression has only worsened since this con man with a big smile has said he would open up relations with Cuba. Who will benefit from this? Remember this the statement. Remember the statement, I think it was Karl Marx who wrote, when the last capitalist is hung, we'll hang him with the rope he manufactured. That reminded me of what I saw today. We see the con man going over there with his wife and daughters, lending credibility to this prison island, and the jailkeepers of the prison island, he indulges them, cements the regime's oppression, grants them international legitimacy, demoralizes the human rights movement in Cuba, rewards them for their bad behavior. It sounds familiar. He always rewards bad behavior. Didn't he reward the thugs who burnt down Ferguson? Didn't he reward the thugs who almost burnt Baltimore to the ground? Doesn't Obama reward our foes and punish our friends? I wrote all about it in Government Zero, so there's nothing new under the sun for me. And here we are talking about all these topics and more, and I invite you to call 855-400-7282. In this hour, want to play some of the historic tapes from the show. I want to tell you how I became a conservative many, many decades ago. Before I began in radio, many people say, oh, is he kidding? Is he really a liberal? Well, define me as you will. I could care less. But I know what my politics are, and I know how long I've been what I am politically. And I'll tell you, maybe I'll tell it to you right now, why do a build-up? There's nothing to hold back. Okay, how I became a conservative. I was a liberal New Yorker because I knew nobody else. No one else in my entire circle did I ever meet who was not so predisposed. No one. Anyone who was not like us was considered something less than us. Well, I thought about it yesterday and had a conversation about it. And I have to give my wife Janet a lot of credit because she reminded me yesterday that she was super conservative coming from Connecticut in a military family. Well, they were not military per se. Her father, God rest his soul, my past father-in-law, Robert Roll, fought as a naval officer in World War II. And he had graduated Harvard Law School. He had come from Indiana where his father, her grandfather, was a distinguished professor of history at Indiana State University. So he came from good stock. She comes from very conservative people who know what America is. And we would argue. She told me we argued all the time politically. I don't remember any of that. I didn't want to give her any credit for it, but I had to. She said, don't you remember we argued? I said, no, I don't remember that. Well, she said, we did. So I said, okay, good. You get the gold star. But she said, you remember what else happened to you in your evolution along the way? Do you remember what you saw going on? The liberals abusing the military recruiters and the soldiers back in the 60s, who you stood up for the soldiers, even though you were a member of the liberals, You couldn't believe what you were seeing being done to these boys who were coming back from Vietnam by these left-wing fanatics, how you stood up and screamed at them, and what happened to you as a result, and how you found out that liberals were really violent bullies whenever you challenged them on any subject. The minute you stepped out of line and you challenged those liberals politically, they became bullies and violent. Nothing has ever changed. Well, I also saw the abuse of the system when I was a welfare worker on the Upper West Side of New York. I saw them living better than I was. That was a little before all of this. And then later on, when I was told to go get my union card, which was the PhD, and then I'd be ushered into the professorship that I so dearly wanted, I was rejected for many years. Even though I had a near-perfect scorecard, had published 6 books at the time, they hired only incompetents because they met the chart. And that really cornerized me. You know, 10 years of looking for a job, knowing you're the most qualified and not getting it, and seeing people far less qualified than you get jobs, tends to change your politics. But instead of breaking me, it made me. See, other people would break from that strain. It made me. It didn't destroy me. Anyway, that's a little bit of the history. I don't think I've ever articulated it as clearly as I did just now. And I think that while you're dialing, we have one open line, line 8 only, 855-407-282. Let's play clip number 4, the anniversary trailer on The Savage Nation. This is the 22nd year of broadcast history.
In the radio industry, you have to fight to survive. One man, one way, Michael Savage. Against all odds, Michael Savage survives. Attacked from the left, attacked from the right. An independent conservative. Borders, language, culture. Michael Savage, the Savage Nation. Michael Savage, he did it his way. Undaunted and fearless, representing the heart of America. Fighting for America's soldiers, fighting for America's policemen, exposing the Islamofascists, fighting the liberal wackos, speaking out against the excesses of the Republicans. Michael Savage, author of the New York Times best-selling books, The Savage Nation, The Enemy Within, Liberalism is a Mental Disorder, and The Political Zoo. No man can stop him. Michael Savage going strong.
That's at least 10 years old. They dug it up out of the archives because the last book they mentioned was published in 05 or 06, The Political Zoo. Well, I haven't stopped yet. I'm working on 4 books right now. Of the making of many books, there is no end. Ecclesiastes, it's what I do. I began as a writer and I continue to write almost repetitively. One way or another, there's so many thoughts in my mind that I have to get out there. And we'll take your calls on the Savage Nation. Rena, KSFO, you're the first caller on this historic day. Go ahead, please.
Michael, I'm calling to say congratulations and thank you. I have had 22 years of continuing education listening to you. And it has been well worth it.
Thank you. That's all I can say. Without embroidering every call, I'm not going to, you know, go repeat. A standard tactic in talk radio is you let someone talk, and then to fill up space, you repeat what they just said while you're thinking or having a snack. All I can say is thank you for these kind calls. WJR Bob, you're happy that Obama went to Cuba. Tell us why.
I think his behavior in Cuba, Obama's, was brilliant in letting Riel Castro exposed himself as a delusional thug. And I think if Obama had acted any other way, we wouldn't have gotten that propaganda victory.
Hold on, I'm not going to argue with you, but how did you see Raul shown up for being a delusional thug? What part of today's performance exhibited that?
Well, it was kind of like a healing event. And instead of being diplomatic, he was combative. So
what you're saying, Raul was combative?
I think he was combative when he made the remarks about Guantanamo. It was inappropriate for the
Well, what's interesting was when he was asked about political prisoners by Costas, He said, if you can name the political prisoners, I'll release them tomorrow. That was classic Soviet Union tactics.
He was. Obama made him comfortable enough to show, to let him expose himself to the world as who he was, a dictator.
You actually think that that was Obama's intent? In fact, I disagree with you, because Raul, when he was asked and pressed for answers, he said, Mr. Obama has answered for me several times. Don't you remember Obama stepped in, and in order to avoid any embarrassment for the dictator of Cuba, Obama answered for him? Didn't you see that?
Well, I think Obama had to make himself look like the ultra-gentleman in order to make Real look like the ultimate thug. I think that was just...
Do you think it's appropriate for him to take a wife and children while there are people suffering in prison in Cuba for their political beliefs, and they should have a little tour down there eating ice cream? This is very much like the propaganda tours of the Soviet Union in the early 1930s. It's very much like the propaganda tours of the Nazi concentration camps, where they showed happy Jews sewing at sewing machines, I think. Thank you for the call. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. One of the most significant political events of our lifetime. Once again, the smiling con man gave away the store and got nothing in return. Once again, the smiling con man talked about free trade as though this entire election isn't really about the loss of jobs in manufacturing. There he goes again. How many American jobs would be lost with a free trade deal with Cuba? What would he hope to export to Cuba for manufacturing? What is remaining here that they could do in Cuba for less money? A lot of things. They work at very low wages in Cuba. And the reason liberals can't wait to go over there is I understand that girls are as cheap as, an ice cream cone. Yeah, they get an ice cream cone, a cigar, and a girl for about $15 in Cuba. And that's why all the libs of New York and San Francisco can't wait to go there. Some of them go there repeatedly right now. Oh, yeah, they go through Canada. They go through Mexico. They have a heck of a time exploiting the poor girls. But that's the liberal way. Say one thing and do another. So don't think I'm sitting here like, you know, Mr. Old-timer saying don't do business with Cuba. But how about getting something out of the deal? How about insisting that he open up his dungeons and let people out, some of whom have been in there for 25 years? You don't know about that because Andrea Mitchell, the great Andrea Mitchell, didn't talk about the Cuban dungeons. No one except one of them even mentioned the ladies in white who were beaten with clubs just yesterday, as the great man arrived with his wife and girls to, let us say, polish the image of this dictatorship. And that's worth talking about on the Savage Nation today. Let's take some callers on the program. KSFO, Jennifer, go ahead. You're up on the big airwaves. What's on your mind?
I wanted to congratulate you on 22 years and tell you I've been listening for 20 plus years. My young daughter, 9 years old back then, went on to be very, very conservative and is now a practicing attorney in the most liberal area in San Francisco. And I believe her conservative foundation comes from you and listening to you in the car to and from school. And just
and some would say I'm not a conservative because I don't pass the litmus test. Thank you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
Savage. The one thing that the Cuban government can take some pride in is that they've raised literacy rates here extraordinarily high. And what that means is that there are people here in Cuba who are hungry for information, hungry for education. They have a solid healthcare system. And one of their biggest exports is doctors and nurses around the world.
And you hear the lie
for them to utilize the skills of the
Cuban people. Just stop him. Stop him. He gets away with it because no one stops him. He's done it his whole life. No one will say you're lying. Oh, let's see, they have great health care in Cuba. So when Fidel got sick, where did they bring the doctor in from? It was from Spain, wasn't it? He didn't use one of his Cuban doctors from the University of Havana. Brought him in from Spain. But you wouldn't know that. But now you know it. What a lie. The big lie about how great communism is because it creates Great, great doctors, really. And when they need a doctor at the elite level, where do they get him from? They fly in a Jewish doctor from Miami. That's where they get him from. Unbelievable to me how you get away with the dumbness in the media. So, okay, that's my job. 22 years in the radio business. I didn't start yesterday. And I've asked you where you are politically today and where were you in 1994. I asked you how old were you when you started listening to Michael Savage. Have your views changed? We talked about left-wing reformist Jews protesting Trump, joining Muslims and Arabs in hating Trump. It's astounding. We talked about Obama going to the prison island of Cuba. We talked about the media covering for Obama's communist love affair. And now we'll take some calls on, well, no, I think we should do this. Let's start it anyway, which is, I want you to hear something I did to get into radio. Many of you are new listeners, and you may never have heard this. I got into radio not by accident, you know. I sent out a demonstration tape, a demo tape, to 400 and some odd radio stations. I bought the list from a gentleman in the radio business. I'll never forget it. I said, do you have a list of program directors and radio stations? Yeah, I don't know, paid him $200. I made a demo tape over Command Productions in Sausalito, California. I had friends and family call in like they were callers. And then we sent the demo tape out to, you know, I don't know, 200 stations. I got answers from six stations. Six stations said, you're pretty good, kid. Would you like to do a show for us? Well, one was in Boston. I think it was WRKO at the time. I don't recall. And one was right here in my backyard on KGO Radio. Of course, now I'm on KSFO. And then the rest is history. But it began with me reaching out. No one came to me. No one discovered me. See, this is the thing with a lot of young people out there. They don't understand that you have to go. You got to think of yourself as a salmon swimming upstream against the current to spawn if you want anything in this world. If you want me to get more specific, I can't. You've got to struggle for your success or you're never going to find it. It doesn't come to you. You got to grab. You got to swim for it. You got to jump across chasms for it. You got to sweat for it. And then maybe you'll be lucky enough to get it, but there's no guarantees anyway. Many people jump those chasms and they still fall into the canyon. There's no guarantee in life. And keep on trying is all I can say to you. And keep on reinventing yourself. If you can't make it, then do something else. If you're banging your head against a stone wall, then try something else. Eventually, something will open up for you like the Red Sea will part. So, having said that, I want you to listen for a minute anyway, a minute or so, of the original Virgin demo tape, which was done in 1993, that got me my first radio job right now in the Savage Nation.
And now, direct from the towers above Manhattan, it's the Michael Savage Show. To the right of Rush and to the left of God, and now, Michael Savage.
I'm glad I can be with you 7 nights a week because these stories are just not going away. I mean, every day in every way we're getting assaulted. Look at these questions before us today. Look at the questions before us. You know, they say that I'm to the right of Rush and to the left of God. I really don't think that that's funny. Are lawyers really humans? Is white bread safe to eat? How come women with mustaches, with peace and love and turtle-saving bumper stickers are the most likely to cut you off on the highway? By the way, a quick note. Nazi skinheads, KKK, don't call me. Crawl back into your bunkers. You've given true conservatives a bad name because you permit the sick leftists to paint all conservatives with a fascist brush. Okay? Don't call me. Do Labor Secretary Reich's feet touch the ground when he's seated on talk shows? I don't know. But these are some of the questions that I think we have to answer here. Because these questions are very much like the legislation before the 103rd Congress. Look at the bills that are facing our country right
now. See, that's what I did. I haven't changed that much. I would say my voice is a little more controlled, a little deeper, certainly. But it's the same personality. It's all vanity. I read Ecclesiastes 3:19 because it applies to me as well as everyone else on the planet. As we strut across the stage called life, for that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them, as the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, and that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. Ecclesiastes 3:19, many of you don't know it's a biblical verse. All is vanity. Yeah, well, all is vanity, and so what? Well, that and, I guess, a profession will get you somewhere. If you want to take your vanity and turn it into a profession, it'll work for you. But at the end of the day, don't confuse yourself with a saint. or with someone great, because none of us are great and none of us are saints. All right, let's get some calls. WMAL, Tom, you like opening up Cuba. Tell us why.
Oh, I got to tell you, you know, I'm a liberal Democrat, and I got to say one thing about you. You're exactly like Donald Trump. You're the biggest bag of weed I ever heard of.
So why are you listening to the show if I'm so bad, idiot?
No, there you go. You, first of all, you know, why are you calling me an idiot?
Well, you shut your mouth. You call a show when I'm on my anniversary and you insult me. You call me a bag of wind. What do you want me to do, take it? Because I'm in the media? You know what you could do? Get off my show. Don't even listen to me. Men like you pollute the airwaves just by listening. Go listen to NPR and go glorify that psychopathic Stalinist in the White House. Why don't you go to Cuba there and work in a sugar field, you idiot, you? Yeah, I feel like a bartender. You know, I'm a nice guy, but if you provoke me, I'll throw you out of the bar. It's that simple. This is my bar, and I'm not obligated to take your abuse. You hear this? You're just like Donald Trump. And then, bam, bam, go in. No, I'm not going to listen to that. I thought he had intelligence. Thanks, Jim. Why don't you screen the callers a little better? Why don't you ask them what they're going to say instead of letting a blowhard like that, a welfare recipient, call my show? I was doing well. WJR, Dave, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael. I think, love your show, by the way. I think it's really disgusting that these rabbis are protesting against Trump when only 2 weeks ago the Democrats voted in the House of Representatives to back the Muslim Brotherhood.
Listen, these liberal rabbis are the biggest disgrace in the history of Judaism. There's no other way to put it. These are the same silent Jews who have said nothing about the excessive rapes and murders of ISIS. All of a sudden, they found their nerve to attack Trump. Doesn't it show you what cowards they really are?
Last week, Robert Gates, the former defense secretary under Obama, said that during the coup in Egypt, Obama went against his entire team and supported the Muslim Brotherhood. Why isn't that on the front page of every single newspaper? That I don't understand.
Why isn't it on the front page of the Jewish rabbis? How come the rabbis have nothing to say about that? How come they were so silent about Obama's excesses? Don't fool yourself. There's tons of money coming down from the federal government into their coffers in one form or another. I've told you for years about Baptist family services, Catholic family services, you name it. Well, don't for one minute think that Jewish progressive religious groups don't make fortunes off the illegal immigrants. And so it's all dollars and cents at the end of the day, my friend. Thank you for bringing that up. We'll get some of that sound later on the program. 855-407-2. Hey, someone who started listening a long time ago. Nate on line 6. Go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I just want to thank you. I started listening to you probably when I was in the womb. I was born in 1994. And you just instill a sense of common sense and objectivity into the way I look at the world, and I don't think I'd be where I was now without having grown up just listening to your views and everything.
Nathan, what do you do? Do you work?
I'm apprenticing to be an electrician right now. I have an apprenticeship.
Good for you. You mean somebody who actually... You mean you're not designing a website or trying to become someone creating a new Facebook? You're actually going to do something?
Yeah, I actually want to do something with my life, you know. Work hard, raise a family, and then one day retire and just be happy and mind my own business.
Good for you, Nate. Thank you for being sane. Okay, in Washington, D.C. in 1990, I have wonderful callers, and I would think that most Americans are ignorant about what's really going on in Cuba and the dictatorship that's there because the media covers it up. They know nothing about the poor women who were beaten in the streets over the last few days. They're called ladies in white. They are the wives and the daughters of those locked away in dungeons in the mafioso prisons of Cuba. And they were beaten up by Castro's female thugs in the streets. There was very little coverage of it. And you would think that your great leader, your great progressive ice cream cone licker and his family would have some sense of shame to talk for 1 second about these poor women and their men who are rotting in prisons. But then again, I've come to accept it all. In liberal America, you've come to accept everything. Where true courage has been twisted into senseless violence by the movie world, where love has withered into unfeeling lust as a result of the movie world, where Obama's wars are considered peace, where slavery around the world is portrayed as freedom. Well, I know this because I'm part of the mass culture. And as I said earlier, I just hope that my gestures of defiance help you define me and help you define yourself. This is the Savage Nation. Chris on WMAL. What's on your mind, Chris?
Dr. Savage, I was less than 3 years old when I started, when you started out in radio. I started listening to you, your show, just by pure chance. I was, I turned the dial when I was driving back from school late at night in 2012, and you were discussing illegal immigration, how granting them amnesty would turn the 30 million, so illegals in this country into 70 million. Ever since then, I've been hooked on the show, and your views have really heavily influenced my ideological turn from being, you know, a typical establishment Republican into being a strong nationalist conservative.
Wow. Well, that says it all, Chris. Thank you very much for being such a loyal listener on this 22nd anniversary show. These come around once a year, and you're invited to call if you have any memories of your first show, how long you've been listening, did it change your politics? And WABC, New York. George, haven't heard from you in a while. George, what's on your mind?
Congratulations, Dr. Savage, and I remember it very well. It was 2 a.m. in a snowstorm southbound on Route 87, and I caught you by accident. I missed my exit, and I've been with you ever since.
Where were you heading on the turnpike?
No, I was coming down from Connecticut, Massachusetts, business, and it was like 11, 12 o'clock at night. I caught you on the other radio station. I won't mention the name, but
it must have been a replay, because when I was on that other radio station, I was on from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. On that station. I don't know. I was never on later unless they did a replay of it later. But thanks for the call. I was pleasantly surprised this weekend when a friend of mine said, "Did you hear they're replaying an hour of your show on KSFO on the weekends?" I said, "No, that's nice to hear." They substituted my 1 hour for someone else's because I'm a local boy who made good on KSFO, and it's always nice to hear about that. I certainly agree that I don't want to listen to myself over the weekend. WFTW in Florida, line number 7. Go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yes, Dr. Savage. I want to congratulate you and let you know that the first time I heard you was in the middle of the Gulf of Alaska. I was on a Coast Guard cutter standing watch, and we have a direction finder up there. And I was dialing in the AM, and I heard a familiar voice. And coming from Brooklyn, and my mother's from the Bronx, you just told a story about Polynesia, and I escaped from my watch. I was sent back to my home half a world away, and I wanted to thank you for what you're doing on the radio.
All right. Well, that's very beautiful. Thank you. I hope to go out on a Coast Guard cutter here in San Francisco in the very near future and see what the bay looks like standing on the deck of a 120-foot steel ship as opposed to a local pleasure boat. Lots that I want to say right now, but I can't until I come back right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America. The music of the people. I like to eat the food of Cuba, but man, I wouldn't go there when these mafioso are running the island. There's an amazing picture that came out at a joint press conference with President Obama in Cuba and the dictator Raul Castro. They shook hands, and Raul Castro, the old communist dictator, tried to lift the arm of the president in a triumphant salute, but Obama's hand and wrist went limp as Castro lifted it. This is a picture worth 1,000 words. If you see Obama's limp wrist, there's an awful lot in that picture. There's an awful lot in that whole picture. It looks like he was, I don't want to use the word castrato because it wouldn't apply, but he certainly was a political castrato in going there and getting nothing and giving everything. And to bring his daughters there on parade, bring his children to Cuba and give legitimacy to the island when there are children whose fathers are rotting in prison for the crime of criticizing the government. Now, how does the Cuban exile community feel about this? I haven't heard from them. Some may like it, for all I know. How do the people of Cuba feel about this? What are they going to benefit from this? From turning him into the great, who is he? Who's the equivalent of him in their history? I think the Cuban people did better under Batista. By what I can see in history, the country was better when it was run by Maya Lansky and his cohorts than it has been under the gangsters. There was certainly more money in the economy. Cuba was open before Castro's came along. And by the way, he originally was not a communist. I remember speeches of Fidel saying he was not a communist and he wasn't to be feared. You don't know this. Oh, I know the history of Cuba a lot better than you may think. Because I love the music and the people. And I'll be back right here on this historic 22nd anniversary show right on the Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
With me from the first night in radio, some just started listening a day ago or a week ago or a month ago or a year ago. And you love the show, and I want to thank you a million for your patronage. I don't know what else to say. How else do you say it? How do you put it that way? You know, there are people who start in radio on local stations, and they have extremely loyal followings on local stations, and they have a wonderful time with those shows. And I started on a local station, and I always wanted to be a national talk show host from the day I started. Unfortunately, it took me a long time to achieve it. I began in 94, and I didn't become a syndicated talent until 2000, even though I knew after a month or two that I would be in the top three if I went into the, you know, into the syndicated world. And of course, I've fulfilled almost all of my dreams in many ways as a writer, as a broadcaster, as a father. So you say, well, what am I, you know, thinking now? Just reflecting out loud. Like, what am I on the radio for? Am I doing it because I need the paycheck? Yeah, well, yeah, not really. I could have retired years ago. I'm not boasting. Started poor, but I'm not poor. So what motivates a man like me to keep going? You have to ask yourself that question every day. Because some days, not today, I mean, I'm feeling great today, and I have for a while, but there have been days I didn't feel like doing this show. I felt it was just a waste of time and futile to fight this corrupt system. And then Trump came along and gave me hope. I know you say, what? Yeah, Trump came along and gave me hope that maybe, just maybe, an outsider, as rich as he may be, as, oh, I don't know what other words to use. It doesn't matter what words I use. We all know what he is and what he isn't. And we don't know if he does become president, and I hope he does, whether he will even be able to enact his desires towards a moderate nationalism. Well, do you think he could actually build a wall? He says he will. Is it easier said than done when you see the opposition to it from every quarter of this nation, from all those cashing in on the illegals? They don't want the wall. Why would reformed Jews suddenly find their guts? The same reformed Jews who said nothing about the rapes, murders, kidnappings by ISIS. Suddenly the rabbis are all brave men. Suddenly they jump up and they're all, we shall overcome, all real tough all of a sudden. Now they can attack Trump because it's safe. Yeah, me too. They're all going to attack Trump now because they're safe in numbers, they think, but they're disgusting to me. They get me sick. They get me sick, physically sick, these liberal religious people. Because they put their progressive values, if you want to even call them that, above their religion itself. The Orthodox Jews, I know, are very pro-conservative, all of them. Every last one of them is a conservative politically. It's these liberals who, well, I don't have to go down that road. It's unnecessary. You get the picture. It's a picture that I've painted too many times to paint it again. I don't want to become John Nagy. And I don't want to become the equivalent of a person who paints on velvet on the airwaves. We have enough of those. The velvet painters. There's an awful lot of velvet paintings floating around on the Coney Island of your mind. So, as Obama visits Cuba, his own State Department reports major human rights abuses by the very communist regime he just basically burnished, his image, the image that he burnished for them. It's terrible to watch. Now, I'm not saying that maybe there shouldn't have been some rapprochement, but what did we actually gain from this? How do you compare this to Nixon opening up China? You say, well, on the face of it, it's the same thing. Well, that's if you're not analytical and you don't look at it in detail. Yeah, Nixon opened up China. It's a communist nation. It still is. There are dissidents in China. There are similarities. But Nixon got things for the opening of China. He got a mutually beneficial arrangement where China was used to countermeasure the growing power of the Soviet Union. He did it in order to help manage the war in Vietnam. What did Obama just get from kissing the feet and the rings of these two dictators in Cuba? Can anyone tell me? Did we get any concessions? Did one political prisoner get released from a prison? Did any of the ladies in white stop being beaten by these by this criminal regime? Was there any agreement to liberalize the economy? Was there an agreement by these two gangsters to stop the religious persecution of the Cuban people? According to my reading, Obama's shameful announcement has worsened political and religious oppression in Cuba. What U.S. interests have been served in this process? Can anyone tell me that? Can anyone tell me how America is going to reap the benefits of this rapprochement with Cuba? Tell me. Tell me what we're going to gain from it. I don't know what we're going to gain from it. I know that it has been written, perhaps by Karl Marx, when the last capitalist is hung, we will hang him with the rope he manufactured. Now, it almost sounds antiquated to repeat things like that, but what you don't know is that Raul and Fidel Castro are gangsters, and they run the country as a gangster regime. There is zero freedom. If anyone so much as holds up a sign that criticizes them, they are immediately arrested. Do you understand that? How can you legitimize people like this and get nothing in return? And so, my friend, it's nice to see doves flying from Obama's magical hat. But coming back in return are the vultures of oppression. Now let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. KSFO Nick, welcome to the program. What's on your mind on this 22nd anniversary program?
Hey, Michael, I just wanted to call and really thank you for sharing your enlightened thoughts. When I was 17, I was blessed enough to find your book, Savage Nation, and it really opened up to the manipulation and kind of the fear-mongering that me and my fellow millennials have been going through. So I just really wanted to thank you, and you're pretty much the only reason for the success that I've had in my life. So I just want to thank you, and I'm sure I'm speaking for a lot.
Nick, hold on. How old were you when you first heard my magical voice?
The first time I heard your voice was about a year ago, but the first time I read your magical words, I was 17 years old.
And today you're how old?
I am 25 years old now.
And so what did my viewpoint do for you?
It motivated me to see and find my own path in life and seek out the truth instead of kind of eating what has been fed to me. So it's led me to become an enlightened thinker myself and share enlightened ideas with my fellow citizens. Like, I never went to college to be indoctrinated with the liberal agenda, and I've done well for myself, and I try to share my success of individual thought with others my age. And you really started that process. Also, the book The Prince was beautiful for me to see that manipulation's been going on for about 600 years. So I really thank you so much, Michael.
Well, let me send you Government Zero, since you're a man who likes to read. Thank you so much for that call. Please get his address and keep him on the program. You know, it's funny. I tend to do the radio show, and then at night I watch television. As I've told you for years, certain shows I look forward to, like Vinyl, I love on HBO. The co-production of, it's about drugs, sex, and rock and roll, but the production values are awesome. And it was directed originally by Scorsese. Individual segments are directed by different television directors. And the acting is awesome. The cinematography is great. The writing is terrific. So I like that, and I like to watch the show Billions on Sunday night. But you know what I find is that when I read, if I read at night, I sleep better. You know, if you're not getting those images flashing in your eyes before you go to sleep, whatever they are, I mean, I don't care. You know, everyone loves Raymond even. I'm still imagery. It's this color imagery flashing in your retina. Has to stimulate a part of your brain that becomes difficult to sleep after a while, and it produces dreams that you may not want. I have found I was always an avid reader as a young man, and it always was an escape for me and place to go to learn whether it was reading ancient Chinese philosophy or poetry in the English translation, or the years I was reading botany or fiction or Henry Miller or any of that. I found that reading was very relaxing, and I started reading again recently. In fact, I set up a new chair in my little house in a corner. You know, it's funny about dogs. I got to tell you the story. Teddy sleeps in my bedroom with me right now. Dogs get used to a certain pattern. Like you go in the room and you do certain things and they lay down and they go to sleep. So because I set up a reading lamp in the bedroom in the far corner where I sit and read after we go and he gets disturbed. It's like he looks up and says, what are you doing? We're supposed to be sleeping now. What are you turning that on for? Can't you see I'm trying to sleep here? What's with the light? I'm waiting for you to turn the other lights off so I can roll over and just be done with this long, horrible day, Michael. And he looks at me like, please turn the light off. I'm trying. They become like humans. You know, it's like roommates, these guys. But anyway, I'm reading in the corner and I'm sleeping much better. You want to hear what I'm reading now? You'll never believe the two books I'm reading. Well, one of them is a book from the 1950s. You won't believe it, called Last Exit in Brooklyn by Hubert Selby Jr. You say, what? How did you come to that? Well, it's a long story. But the point is that there was some amazing literature from the 1950s, fiction. The book that turned me around was called On the Road by Jack Kerouac. I write about it in my forthcoming journals, which will be out in June. It's another book. I only worked on that one for 20 years. But it'll finally see the light of day in June from WorldNet Daily Books. And that book changed my whole perspective on reality, On the Road. And in many ways, because I read On the Road and I read Kerouac and it sort of catapulted me into many new worlds, I am on the radio. Had I not, I might be a dead accordionist. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Maybe one day Cuba will be free again. Who knows? Welcome back. So they were waiting for Trump and Cruz and Kasich to speak at the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. That's like a rite of passage for every candidate. They have to go up there and genuflect and promise that they will protect Israel at all costs, even at the cost of American security. On and on every year it goes on and on and on. In many ways, Israel has become our Cuba. And I know that that's harsh medicine for many of you to accept. But, you know, this has been going on for 70 years now. And there comes a time where you have to say enough is enough. Israel's economy is booming, by the way. Ours isn't. They're doing better than we are. It's another example of great trade agreements with Israel. They're doing terrific. They have a wonderful economy in Israel. We don't. Again, we don't. Again, they got the better of us. So, you know what's ironic to me? It's funny. It's crazy. The rabbis, the so-called rabbi, what does it mean? What does a rabbi mean? The word means teacher. There are good teachers, bad teachers, perverted teachers, genius teachers, rabbi. All it means is teacher. Not every teacher is sacred. Why? Because he puts a yarmulke on his head, he's sacred? Another holy roller with another costume. Rabbi this, rabbi that, they oppose Trump. What really gets to me here is these are liberal rabbis, progressive rabbis, you want to call them. I hate the word progressive, which is a code word for socialist. I call them progressive rabbis. They hate Trump. Dumping on Trump, hating him with hatred I've never seen. The hatred they should have projected upon the world's dictators, they had said nothing. Now, Trump they hate like I never saw. So, I ask myself, what's wrong with this picture? Trump comes out and says, with regard to the Israel-Palestinian problem, that he wants to keep an open mind on it. He didn't just genuflect like the others and say, yes, yes, Israel uber alles. He didn't say, let the Palestinians go to you-know-where. Trump actually said, I got to do what's fair here. Well, the progressives should be saluting Trump for that. But instead, they still attack him. Because at this point, they're not even listening to what he has to say. All of the Upper East Side, all of the Upper West Side, all of the Brooklyn liberals have made up their mind that he's Mussolini and Hitler in one. And if you try to pin him down on what he's actually done or said that makes them Mussolini or Hitler, they have no answer. But the geniuses that they are, they continue to repeat the big lie, and then they feed each other. Oh, yeah, I'm leaving New York. I'm leaving America if he wins. Every actor, every interview, yeah, if he wins, I'm leaving America. Every one of them, like the pinheads they are. It's sickening. People who you look and say, well, great actress she is, and then she says a thing like that, you realize she's just a brainwashed fool. Idiots. Drug addicts. The very people who should have been standing up for the torture and the murder being conducted by Islamo-fascists around the world and have been silent. Trump, they found, is safe to attack. Historically absurd to say a thing like that. WGOW in Tennessee. Nick, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, I first discovered you about 6 months ago. I like that line, to the right of Rush, to the left of God, that you played. And that day you were discussing the current immigration issues that we're having. So I go home and I begin to explain to my dad your explanation and how you've laid everything out. And he begins to tell me that, oh, yeah, Savage predicted all this stuff and basically said this is what's going to happen. You know, years ago, I think he said it was in the early 90s or mid-90s, he said.
Right, because my mantra on radio has long been borders, language, culture. Before this became an issue for others, I was speaking about borders, language, and culture, and it's good that others have joined the bandwagon, but nothing has changed. It's only gotten worse. The very Obama who goes there to Castro land and praises the two dictators has busted our border with Mexico and made it porous to the point that we have no border. And this has to stop. It's one of the main reasons that Trump is so appealing. And it's one of the main reasons that the psychopathic progressives are suicidal. Do they not understand that you cannot have open borders in a time of terrorism? Do these idiots not understand that you cannot have open borders in a time of disease like Zika? Do these idiots not understand you cannot have open borders to the world's poor when we have poor in this country who are not being taken care of because we don't have the money to spread around to them? How do they not think these things through? Well, it's pretty easy to figure that one out. It is very, very easy to figure that one out. Well, look, when we come back, we got these huge news stories to talk about. 22-year anniversary on radio. Where were you politically in 1994? I'd love to hear from youngsters who were mere pups when they started listening to the show in their father's car or mother's car. I'd like to know how it affected your life, if at all. We're talking about left-wing reform Jews protesting Trump, joining Arabs and Muslims. We're talking about Obama going to the prison island of Cuba and the media covering for Obama's communist propaganda fest. A real Radio Free Havana, wouldn't that be wonderful? And the most racist regime in the Western Hemisphere is found in Havana. I don't think you understand this. The last I checked, there were no Africans in the leadership of Cuba. It's well known that they're extremely racist. And how this escapes the mind of the media is not a mystery to me whatsoever. It's pure propaganda around the clock. They can hate Trump, but they can't hate Raul Castro. They can hate Trump, but they won't hate the head of ISIS. What does that tell you about the mentally ill liberals out there? Here he visits Cuba. It's one of the most repressive regimes on the planet. It's sort of a tropical North Korea without nukes. That's what it really is when you think about it. It's no different than Kim Jong-un. You criticize them, you wind up in prison, or you wind up disappeared in a cane field. And there he is, the stooge. The stooge, Shea Obama. Shea Obama, the stooge, getting up there, licking an ice cream cone with his wife and children. It's just a very dark day in American history to see a president like this who has no shame whatsoever. But I have to say, when I observed him speaking today, I observed something different in him. He seemed ashamed. He seemed as though he had to do the speech. It reminded me of several different movies, like a combination of The Manchurian Candidate and something even more sinister. He seems like he had to do it in the last months of his regime. Now, we know the end game here. The end game, of course, is to give back half of the island to Cuba and get nothing in return, as you well know. Again, for reasons I cannot fathom. We get what out of that? What exactly do we... Well, maybe Marriott gets a nice location for a hotel. Maybe American Airlines has a new, a new airport called Guantanamo. I mean, very nice for them. But I don't understand exactly what the end game is here about Guantanamo. Where do you want these prisoners? In your backyard? They're some of the meanest, most horrendous America haters on the planet. They would bury you and your whole family alive if they could. Where would you like them? In your backyard? So, you know, it's a crazy day, that's all. And I'm a person who loves the Cuban music, the Cuban culture, the Cuban cuisine. So let's play some Cuban cuisine on the Savage Nation, some music, as I take your calls, 855-407-282. But wait, no, I got some. Why are you getting that music, Robert? I would like you to play either Mazacote or Chocolate. I have a wonderful sound by clip 18 of Hillary hitting Trump at AIPAC, again calling him a bigot. Again, calling him violent. Let's play clip 18. That's more important. Play
now, we've had dark chapters in our history before.
Yeah.
We remember the nearly 1,000 Jews aboard the St. Louis who were refused entry in 1939 and sent back to Europe.
With anything.
But America should be better than this.
Oh, come
on. And I believe it's our responsibility as citizens to say
so. Oh, shut up. Again, the Jewish question. Again, the St. Louis and the Holocaust again. How do you compare Jews facing a Holocaust to the Muslims? How do you compare them unless you're insane? How do you make such a leap? How insane can you get? Did the Jews come here and rape en masse on New Year's Eve? Did the Jews come here and plant pipe bombs at the Boston Marathon, Hillary? The Jews come here and machine gun people at a Christmas party, Hillary. How dare you? How dare you sully the name of the Jewish people by comparing them to this wave of whatever you want to call them? It's disgusting. What a legacy it has been with Hillary Clinton running for office. What a horrendous demagogue she really is. You talk about bigotry and demagoguery. She ought to look in the mirror. But anyway, I don't think that this is going to have much popular play because people don't understand any of these things. But for her to dredge up the history of the St. Louis being turned back, by the way, by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of her great heroes, incidentally. It was a liberal Democrat, some would say socialist, who sent the St. Louis back on its voyage, condemning the 1,000 Jews who had escaped. Condemning them to their death and destruction. But those were different times, weren't they? They're not the same times as today. And to compare the Jews of those days to the Muslims of today is an accomplishment that's admirable from the point of view of propaganda, the propaganda of the left. And frankly, I am not a very happy man to watch the politicians catering to AIPAC. I don't like AIPAC, incidentally. To me, it's a group of corrupt lobbyists. I don't like them having to go before a foreign lobbying group. The American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, who are they? Let's analyze this. No one dares talk about it. They're some monolithic group of very powerful individuals. And there they all are genuflecting before AIPAC. Hillary, Kasich now, the Undertaker. Then it'll be Cruz. Then it'll be Trump. And the only one who said that he wants to be fair in the Middle East is Trump. He didn't just say Israel uber alles. Notice that Trump is the only candidate who did not get up there, and what's amazing to me is that that's a very left-wing position to take. Trump's the only one who took a left-wing position on Israel. Instead of applauding him, they attack him anyway. So it shows that their bigotry and hatred for him is irrational. That's what the word irrational means. AIPAC. I thought we don't like lobbying groups. I thought we in America can't stand lobbyists running America. I thought we all detest lobbyists running America. I thought we all said that this election is about not kowtowing to lobbyists. Isn't that what this election was supposed to be about? Well, there they are, kowtowing to Israel. Why? It's 70 years later. I'm exhausted. Israel has exhausted us. It's time for Israel to stand on its own. Economically, they're doing better than we are. So far as I know, all of the stories we were told about Israel's our greatest ally in the Middle East, if the Arabs close the Suez Canal, they keep it open. I kept hearing this all through my childhood, youth. Israel's this. I never saw Israel fire a shot yet in any of the last wars. The Iraq wars, not a bullet was fired from Israel. ISIS has been on a rampage. Israel didn't fire a shot. So what is this all about? Seems like a business relationship to me, more than anything else. And frankly, if we were still a powerful, rich, exporting nation, I could say, okay, maybe historically, yeah, we have an obligation. But, you know, in many ways, I, as an outside observer looking in, see Israel as our Cuba. And even Cuba was cut off from the Soviet Union after a long period of time. Did you know that? Cuba was a dependent of the Soviet Union, as you may know, for many, many decades. And then the Soviet Union changed. The Soviet Union democratized this to a great extent. And they cut off ties with Cuba because they were no longer, they didn't need a Soviet satellite in the Caribbean. Well, Israel's a satellite of America in the midst of despotism. Has it brought democracy to the neighboring nations around it? Has Israel brought democracy to any nation around it? I'm afraid to say the experiment has failed. And that's a very, very tragic thing to have to admit. Look what happened in Lebanon when this once Christian nation opened its arms to the Palestinians. What happened to Lebanon after Muslims were let in? It descended into civil war and chaos from which it's never recovered. Wherever the Palestinians have gone, there's been war and bloodshed. And so I don't know the answer to this. I know that Trump is the only one who said, I want to be fair to both sides and I don't have a fixed opinion going in. Well, for that, he should have been applauded by the progressives. But instead, he was attacked, as I said at the outset of this distraction on this program today. But is it really a distraction? Well, here's a new headline. Bill Clinton slams awful legacy of the last 8 years. There he is. Can you believe this on the Drudge Report? Bill Clinton slams awful legacy of the last 8 years. At an event today in Spokane, Washington, Bill Clinton called for putting the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us and the 7 years before that where we were practicing trickle-down economics. That's funny. That's really funny. He says, I literally, from the time I met her 45 years ago until we talked yesterday, she is the best change maker I've ever known. She sure hasn't changed him. That's one thing for sure. The magic woman, Hillary Clinton, hasn't changed his proclivities. She always finds a way to make something good happen. Tell that to the spies who have been outed from her email scandal. To make people feel empowered. She hasn't made me feel empowered. I don't want to read any more of this, but he doesn't like the last 8 years. Bill Clinton today said, we can put the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us. Excuse me. Excuse me. Can you not understand the absurdity of what he just said? Barack Obama has enacted everything that Bill and Hillary said they'd like to enact, including socialized medicine. So what, she's going to do more? Okay, it's all politics. It's all rubbish. It's all hot air. At the end of the day, if we can get that sound, it might be fun to play Bill Clinton again. Everyone likes to do Bill Clinton imitations. You know, I personally think that he's trying to undermine his wife's campaign again. He's done this before. He's jealous of her. And it's been said that they have a power struggle between them, which is not unusual in this type of situation. But I believe that Bill Clinton is more of a harm than he is a help to Hillary Clinton. So all I can say is, go, Bill, go. The more you speak, the lower she goes in the polls. KLIF, Sid, welcome to the Savage Nation. Sid, what's your topic today?
Well, my topic is basically on what you were just talking about on Israel and the lobbyists. You know, I think Benjamin Netanyahu, I believe in the mid-90s, late 90s, he actually touched on the idea that it was making Israel weaker, that we had to fund nearly 20% of their military. You know, against the savages in Palestine, and I'm actually a Muslim. Honestly, I think they're savages in the Palestinian areas. You know, but I mean, it's crazy that Israel needs to defend itself, but they can't afford to without U.S. funds. So, if we want to keep Israel safe, we have to cut off, you know, the funds gradually over time. It's just
yes, but it's how many more centuries is Israel going to be dependent on us? I mean, this whole idea of a Zionist homeland was very noble. But has it changed the mentality of the despotic nations around it? I haven't seen the change, but for the worse.
And we give money to the countries around them that fund the terrorists that are trying to destroy Israel anyway. I mean, it's
a conundrum that no one has an easy answer for, or the answer would have been had. And the only one who said he's not yet sure of the answer is Donald Trump, which I, by the way, I applaud him for that. Do you think he could ever bring peace between the Israelis and Palestinians, by the way?
Absolutely not. I don't think anyone could. That's why I was a Ron Paul supporter and a Rand Paul supporter. I like Donald Trump, but, you know, I liked Rand Paul before him because he was a non-interventionist, a constitutionalist, you know? So
yes, I do know. Well, in that sense, then Trump is exactly the same way when it comes to Israel. And I don't know why the progressive left doesn't applaud him for that.
Well, that's one thing. I mean, it's just immigration and all of that other stuff that they'll never get over, you know?
They'll never get over, right, because he believes in secure borders. He's now Hitler. I get it. They're that sick and that facile. Well, folks, when I come back from this last break of the day, you're listening to my 22nd anniversary program on your local radio station, and I want to thank you for your patronage today and all these years. I'll be right back to take your calls right here. Don't go away.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
If you believe we finally come to the point where we can put the awful legacy of the last 8 years behind us, and the 7 years before that, when we were practicing.
All right, you got it. There's Bill Clinton undermining his wife. Could you hear this? We could put the last 8 years behind us? He's enacted everything that Bill and Hillary Clinton tried to enact and would have enacted if they were as clever as Obama. You hear this? That's amazing. And right now, in front of the lobbying group AIPAC, you've got John Kasich, the Kasich Kasich, delivering remarks, genuflecting before the most powerful lobbying group in America, by the way, is AIPAC. And what I find amazing about this is that we're not supposed to like lobbying groups anymore. We keep saying that Washington's run by lobbyists, Washington's run by K Street. They don't represent America. And here we are watching the three leading Republican contenders kowtowing to the largest lobbying group in Washington, if not the world, American-Israel Public Affairs Committee. Isn't that crazy? There was a great article over the weekend in the New York Post by a great journalist, and I've enjoyed his writing for years. He's been on the show once, Michael Goodwin, and he's writing about how his liberal friends think he needs mental help because he's supporting Trump, and he voted for Bill Obama. And then he says Obama's weird, erratic. His nasty put-downs diminish him. But he says this, and I thought it was great. He says, my gut tells me much of the contempt for Trump reflects contempt for his working-class white support. It is one prejudice gentry liberals and gentry conservatives share. It is perhaps the last acceptable bigotry, and you could see it expressed on any primetime TV program. The insults don't all seem good-natured to me. And he said, these people who support Trump, mainly the white working class, went in for generations for all the American dream. Their families fought the wars, worked in the factories, taught school, coached Little League, and built a middle-class culture. Now they are abandoned and know it. Nobody speaks for them. The left speaks for the unions, the poor and the non-white, even shedding tears for illegal immigrants and rioters and looters. The GOP speaks for the Chamber of Commerce, big business, and Wall Street. Trump alone is bringing many of these forgotten Americans into the political system, much as Obama did with millennials and black voters. And he says his message is a potent brew of populism and nationalism that reaches across the partisan divide. And that's exactly why these fools despise Trump, because they know he's right, that globalization and the open border flood of cheap labor has hurt many American men of the middle class. They call him Mussolini or Hitler. And yet, of course, he is neither Mussolini nor Hitler. And the most shameful of them all are the liberal Jews, who have boycotted him today at AIPAC. But I've met that type before. They've been known since the devil first appeared on the planet. And those are my last words on this 22nd anniversary of the radio show, The Savage Nation. Thank you, and God bless America.